David said something a couple of weeks ago that got me started on this, and I've been on it for days, and I feel like I haven't even touched the surface. And it's one of those messages that can change. It's changing my life, the way I view and see things from the Word of God. And it's entitled, is it up there?
Yes.
Freedom and Responsibility. How those two go together. Now, it's on my website, which is treasurehisword.com. www.treasureshisword.com, page one. But there it's entitled, Freedom and the Law. But after some of my studying, I began to see, I want to take the word law out of that, because what the law means to some people, the word law, and they immediately put up a blockage, and they don't hear or receive much thereafter. But, so I thought the better name was Freedom and Responsibility. So, this is what we're going to dig into. Holy Spirit, we need you. You're the teacher. You're our teacher. Open our hearts. Open the ears of our heart to hear you, what you would say to us from your word today, Lord. Because this is a subject that's very important to you. You say your people perish or taken away captive for lack of knowledge. So teach us. Teach us, Holy Spirit, where we'll fully understand this and can answer questions when others question us about the law and our freedom. Thank you, Lord. We put it in your hands. Okay. So, the word says a lot about freedom. Like Luke 4:18, he has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Galatians, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Galatians 5:13, you were called to freedom. We were all called out of slavery, called to freedom. So, we'll jump into the message with that background. Before faith in Jesus Christ, the scriptures say that we were all slaves of sin. Romans 6:17, you were slaves of sin. Romans 7:14, I am of the flesh, Paul said, sold into bondage to sin. And Ephesians 2:1, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Because sin was destroying us, God in his love and mercy gave us the law. Okay? Sin was destroying us, giving Satan an open door, and God in his love for us and his mercy gave us the law. Galatians 3:19. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions. And 3:23, before faith came to any of us, we were kept in custody under the law, shut up, held captive to the faith which later was to be revealed. Now that kept in custody, the Greek word figuratively means to hem in, to protect, like putting a garrison around us. The New King James translates it, kept under guard. The New Living Translation, I like it, says, guarded by the law. That's what the Lord did before we were born again. It protected us. It put around us. The example of it is, shut up means to enclose. The New Living Translation says, kept in protective custody. That's what the law was for, because Jesus loved us that much. He wanted to protect us. Sin gives Satan an open door. He wanted us to know what sin was, so we would know and be able to stay free from the enemy's attack. Sin gives Satan a legal right. So the example is like a guardrail on a high, dangerous mountain road. The guardrails are there to keep you safe. To go beyond the guardrail is to encounter severe pain, problems, trouble, all kinds of issues. Our life is full of protective things that keep us from harm's way. So the next one, Galatians 3:24. The law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. Now, the law was, that word means a schoolmaster or a child trainer, a guardian literally means, the guardian word, a guardian. Now, children need a guardian. And it's saying, before faith came, he was a tutor to lead us to Christ. And it means a child trainer. So it's speaking of when we were children. Before we were born again, we were God's children. We were born from above. He wrote your name in the book of life before eternity. We were his children, just like the nation of Israel, his children, of which he gave the law to. And every child needs from their parents rules and regulations like don't play in the street, don't touch the stove, and all of these things are to keep us safe because mothers and fathers love their children, so they lay down laws until such time that they become adults and walk out the door making their own decisions. But before we were born again, that's the purpose of the law because God loved us. So the law teaches us, number one, what sin is. Paul said, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. So that's the importance of the law. That's that. Number two, the law teaches us what righteousness is. Romans 7:12, the Lord is holy. The law is holy, righteous, and good. And number three, the law keeps me free from Satan's snares. 2 Timothy 2:25 through 26. Correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. This is where we all were before faith came. We were all held captive to some degree or another by the evil one and living our life according to his dictates. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27, do not sin. Because if you do, do not sin, do not give the devil an opportunity. Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, being kept in protective custody, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now that word adoption in the Greek literally means, it's made up of two Greek words, weos, theseion. Weos is adult son, theseion is to put or place. So that word literally means to put or place as an adult son. And that's exactly what the bar mitzvah is to the Jewish people at the age of 14 when they're no longer a child. They have a celebration that they are now an adult and they give them all the responsibilities like the key to the house, the key to the car, and all kinds of responsibilities because now they know better. Because up until this time, they were kept safe and they learned what to do and not to do by the law. So, because you are sons, God sent forth his spirit of his son into our hearts. That's when we were born again. The law kept us as a guidance, as a tutor, until we were born again. The Holy Spirit came in us and we started crying, Abba, Father. All of a sudden we have a revelation of who our Father was. Until that time we really didn't know. But once we were born again, we fell in love with our Father. Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave to the law or to the enemy, but a son, a mature one. And if a son, you're also then old enough to receive your heirship. What's that word? Your inheritance. Thank you. Receive your inheritance. Okay. So Jesus lived the law for us. The next slide. He lived the law for us because we could not and we cannot. Jesus lived the law for us and was also an example of a son. and paid the penalty for us for breaking the law, which is death for us. He died in our place. He fulfilled the law for us. It was all for us. And therefore, he redeemed us when we were under the law and held in its protective custody. Colossians 2. I love this passage in Colossians 2. You were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh. But he, Jesus Christ, made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all transgressions. Believe that. He has forgiven us all of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt. What was that? The certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. So that certificate of debt is either a list of my sins, of which he took out of the way, nailed it to his cross, and when his blood was shed, his blood flowed down over that list of our sins, blotting it out. And you know, in Luke 22, Satan went running to Jesus, demanding his right to attack Peter. And I can just see, well, you know, the scripture says that Satan is our accuser, the accuser of the brethren. And I just have this picture in my mind that whenever we sin, Satan goes running to Jesus to have his legal right, demanding his opportunity to sift us like wheat, like he said about Peter. He goes there. So what we need to do whenever we recognize Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, we need to immediately confess it. Yes? Immediately confess it. And again, he forgives us of all of our sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and Satan cannot touch us. Again, we're back there in that safety of it. So that's it. That's it. Or it could be that certificate debt could be the law. Bible theologians discuss it back and forth both ways. It could have been the law that his blood covered. And he sees, so when Satan comes and says, you see what Franklin did? He sinned. Oh, he did, and he pulls out my file, looks at it. No, Franklin didn't sin. Here's the blood. Franklin's been forgiven. He's paid his full price for his life has been paid. The blood has been shed. There is no sin in him. That's the way our Father sees us, and that's the way we stand in eternity, an eternal viewpoint of our Father. So that Colossians verse is just awesome. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. And when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. And that was the victory. When that blood was shed, that was the victory. Sin was forgiven, and sin is what gives Satan authority and power to attack us. But with the bloodshed, he no longer has that right. Jesus won that victory for us. So Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, do not think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill the law for us. And I say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are no longer for righteousness required to keep the law. And that's why Jesus got so mad with the Pharisees. They still did not understand the meaning and the purpose of the law, that it was a tutor to lead us to Christ. The next slide. When we believe the truth that Jesus has forgiven our sin, we receive the gift of righteousness. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. And now the Holy Spirit can come into us. So now we are no longer a child under the law, but a son, a mature one. Because the Holy Spirit is in us. We're now as a mature believer. The law is now within us, in our hearts. That's what Ezekiel said. The Lord was going to give us a new heart, replace our old sinful heart with a new heart. We have a new heart. The Holy Spirit is within us. So with the Holy Spirit in us, we know what is right and we know what is wrong. And with the Holy Spirit in us, we have the power to do what is right. You agree with that? The Holy Spirit has all power. And if he's in us, we have all power. We can live a righteous life. And it's not a have-to for salvation, but it is a have-to to prevent problems and our Father disciplining us or Satan attacking us. We can do it. Does that sound right? You believe that? I hope so. Therefore, we are free. Number one, we're free from the eternal penalty of sin, which is death. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life, free gift in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:10, he died for us. Why? So that we will live together with him. It is finished. It is a thank you, Lord Jesus, for so great a salvation. Romans 8:1-2 says it so plain. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no judgment. There is no have to. There's no judgment for our failure. It is all forgiven. And eternal life is secured for the believer. The blood of Jesus Christ accomplished that. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, we are free. This is the freedom. We're free from the law of sin and the law of death. Sin cannot convict us. Sin cannot keep us out of eternal life. We are free. Verse 3 says, for the law, what the law could not do, weak as it was through our flesh. In other words, we could not keep it. The law could not do because of the weakness of our flesh, so it was never intended to make us righteous. But God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He took the judgment. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might receive the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we quoted that. So anyway, the law was not and never has been our problem. Our problem is sin. Sin is our problem and the weakness of our flesh. But the Lord took care of the sin problem and he took care of the weakness of our flesh by the Holy Spirit now lives in us because our sin is forgiven and the Lord sees us as righteous. The law helps us see and understand that we need a Savior. That's the purpose of the law. Number two, we're free from having to keep the law for righteousness. And even though this was never the purpose of the law, but man's misunderstanding, Romans 3:20 says this, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. That's all it was to do. So this is the purpose of the law, to give knowledge of sin. So, what has happened in our country, taking the Bible out of the schoolrooms, taking the Bible out of the government offices, taking the Bible out, why is Satan so working so hard to do that? Because without the law, there is no knowledge of sin. And now people are living, the immorality that is going on in the United States is beyond belief. Because there is no knowledge of sin. They say there is not anything as sin. You know, you're your own judge. You're your own God. Whatever you think is right, do it. So that's why they're removing the Bible from everything. Satan, he knows the power of the law. And that's why the Ten Commandments are not seen there anymore or in the government offices. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even when we believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not reject, do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. For the Galatians and for us, that yoke of slavery was the heavy burden of thinking that we had to fulfill the law to be justified. So number three, we are free from the bondage of sin. We should no longer be a slave to it. Romans 6:17, powerful passage of Scripture. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, before Christ, before we were born again, we may not have recognized it, but we were slaves of sin. We became obedient from the heart. That's when we were born again, to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. How does that go with freedom? See, we were either, before we were born again, slaves of sin, but now that we are born again, we're slaves of righteousness. So that's one of those things back and forth with freedom, yes. Freedom from certain things, but we're held responsible for others. So, having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, it's getting worse and worse in the United States. So now present your members as slaves to righteousness. Can you do that? You know, the Holy Spirit is in us. That's the power of God. And also from First Peter, the divine nature is in us. Yes, we can be slaves to righteousness. We can live a righteous life, resulting in sanctification. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free, had that freedom in regard to righteousness, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. In Christ Jesus, who has won the victory and given that victory to us, we can walk free of sin and free from death. Number four, we're free from ourselves. Now that's a good one. We're free from ourselves, knowing this, Romans 6, that our old self was crucified. I was crucified with Christ. That verse is so powerful and can help. It helps me out of so many situations. Just to recognize that I was dead, crucified with Christ. I've said this many times, but to me it means so much. You can curse a dead man. You can spit in his face. You can throw rocks at him. You can call him names. No response. No response. Sometimes when I get in an argument, I have to remind myself, Franklin, you're dead, crucified with Christ. No response. Don't fight back. Jesus will fight for you. He will defend you. And you know, you can sure save yourself a lot of trouble by keeping your mouth shut. You know what I'm talking about? We've all been there, haven't we? Free from self. Ephesians 4:22. In reference to your former manner of life, lay aside that old self. Put on the new self that is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Number five, we're free to follow our heart. Not our old heart, but our new heart that Ezekiel talked about. He said God will put a new heart in all of his people. 1 Chronicles 17:2. Nathan said to David, do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. The Lord God Almighty is also with each one of us. And he's given a new heart within us. And sometimes he says, just follow your heart. You know what's right. You know what's good. You know what I want you to do. I don't have to tell you. You're not under the law again to be led around like a children, step by step. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. You know in your heart. You have a new heart. We're free to follow our heart. Do all that's in your heart, for God is with you. The Lord God Almighty is with all of us. Philippians 2:13. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Number six, we're free to obey Jesus Christ. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know, that's a tough verse. If you love me. So really it goes back to what we were singing earlier, talking about the firm foundation of God is love. And that's what will, you know, if we love somebody, we want to do what they ask us to do. If I love my wife, I want to please her. I want to do what she asked me to do. Get up smiling and wash the dishes, right? John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. See, we're not free from the commandments. That's where it gets back and forth in all of this. We really need to understand. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Jesus is concerned about our motivation, why we do what we do. If we love him, we'll have no problem trying to keep the commandments. We want to please him. He who loves me and will be loved by my Father, I will love him, and we will disclose myself to them. That's a wonderful promise. John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Love's the motivation, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, make our life, our abode, our life in him. That's awesome. He who does not love me doesn't keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but it's the Father who sent me. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be made full. In 1 John, John quoted this. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe, literally do, his commandments. See, we're back, we're free, but still we have the responsibility to keep the commandments. But now on this side with the Holy Spirit in us, we can do it. And it's not out of have to, it's we want to. We want to please the Lord. We want to live right. So, free, yes. So, next slide in here, it says that love is the motivation, not works or trying to earn salvation. God is love. God is in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit, giving us the motivation of love and the ability and the power to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 2, 3 through 5. By this we know we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who said, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. You know, that when in him the love of God has been perfected. I think that to the degree we want to please him gives us some idea of the degree that we're at this point of my life of loving him. Because the more I love him, the more I want to please him and do what is pleasing in his sight. So we see that we're not free from, number one, the responsibility of sin. We are not free from the responsibility of the law. It still stands as the guiding principle of relationships in the kingdom of God. But it is not an issue for eternal life. That's the big difference. Romans 8, 1 through 8 says it very plainly. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh. God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and offering sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Why? So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, once the Holy Spirit comes into us, we can do that. For those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, their mind is on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit or subject itself to the law of God. The mind set on the flesh. And that's what's going on in the United States today. Oh my goodness. For it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So, as New Testament believers with the Holy Spirit in us, we have the power and the ability to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Our mind can submit to the law of God, verse 7. We have the power and ability to keep the law and walk free of sin, free from the kingdom of darkness and the evil ones attacked, and please God, so that the requirement of the law might be filled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you in the paths of righteousness, yes? And the evil one cannot touch you. Thank you, Lord, for so great a salvation. Okay, number 2. We are not free from the temporal consequences of sin. Jesus said to him, "Do not sin anymore so nothing worse happens to you." That was the man whom he healed and said, in other words, it sounds as if the enemy had brought on the situation. So Jesus, and that Jesus says that to all of us, "Do not sin anymore so nothing happens to you." You know, I keep getting on bunny trails and I can't take that much time. But anyway, when we sin, we do give Satan a legal right. Satan went running to Jesus and demanded his rights to sift Peter as wheat. And Jesus did not say no, but he said, "I prayed for you, Peter, and your faith will not fail." In other words, sometimes when we're so disobedient, the Lord disciplines us in different ways. Every good father, every good mother that loves your children, that wants to keep them out of harm's way, disciplines our children. And our Heavenly Father is the same. He will discipline us, and it wakes us up and helps us get back on. He loves us that much. It's discipline out of love for our best. Second thing, we're not free from the temporal consequences of sin. Do not sin anymore so nothing worse happens. Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil an opportunity. When we reject or disobey the laws of the kingdom of God, we then walk in sin and the kingdom of darkness, giving Satan a legal right to attack. 1 Peter 5:8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Psalm 89, I also shall make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My loving kindness will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall be confirmed to him. I will establish his descendants, literally seed. I will establish his descendants forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not break off my loving kindness from him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. My covenant I will not violate. That blood covenant Jesus Christ made with his Father for us, that blood covenant is he will never violate it. Eternal life for everyone who believes is a free gift from God. It will never change. That covenant he will never violate. So number 3, we're not free to do our own thing, whatever we want to do. 1 Peter 2:16, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the King. Galatians 5, next slide, 13 and 14. You were called to freedom, brethren, Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. That's not what the freedom is for. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Pretty simple. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple. We can do that. This is the main issue and purpose of the law for New Testament believers. How to live our life in love for and with the people Jesus died for. That is, right relationships with people. And that is Christianity. Christianity is all about relationships. A relationship with the Lord God Almighty, with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and relationships with one another. People say, Christianity is a religion? I tell everybody, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. We were talking to a man who grew up in a church, and he rebelled against it because all of the laws of don't do, don't do, don't do. The law was preached as condemning and judging. And he had left the church, and we were visiting with him. And he knew Katie and I had been missionaries in Asia for a while. And Katie said to him, he said something about religion and being an, and Katie said, well, you know, Christianity is not a religion. He said, what? Because the church he grew in was, he couldn't understand that. She said, no, it's a relationship. And he thought a minute and said, well, I've got that. But the law and everything else that demands not understanding the law, that is to protect us, it's to keep us because God loves us, to keep us from in a way of protection until we can be born again, to know what sin is. It's not a judgment thing. Praise the Lord. Christianity is all about relationships, and this is the purpose of the law. This is how you do it, how you love your neighbor. Submit yourselves to the one in authority. This is the one another's that impact was found on. Be devoted to one another. Give preference to one another. Be kind to one another. Forgiving each other. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. That's a lot of love. That you also love one another. And by this, all men will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. That's Christianity, love and relationships. When our relationships with one another are broken, that's sin. The Holy Spirit is grieved, and we must confess and be reconciled our relationship and restored with that person. Next slide, Matthew 19. Jesus said, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All of this is just fulfilled by loving. By loving. If you love the Lord, love people, you won't have a problem with any of these do nots. The above are the laws of the kingdom of God. And when we do not follow these laws, chaos, injury, hurt, destruction and degradation set in the person, in the family, or a nation that moves toward disintegration when we do not keep those laws. That's why they have been taken out of everything and being done away with in our nation. So sad. This is exactly what's happening in the U.S. today. Just as the laws of our city, state, and nation are there for us to all be able to live together in peace, in harmony, and righteousness with one another. The laws of an intersection. If obeyed, no accidents or damage done to one another. We all flow smoothly together. But if they're not obeyed, accidents happen. We're about through. Paul quoted Jesus. He who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Okay, for time's sake, let's go to the next slide. Kathleen. Again, this verse makes it clear that we do not lose our salvation by breaking the law. And when we do, we displease the Lord. We lose our reward in heaven when we do not keep the law. We hurt someone else. We give the evil one an open door. Number four, we are not free to live our lives so as to cause others to speak against his name. And those verses are there. You're familiar with that. Next slide. 1 Corinthians 8. So by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it's weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. So, my freedom extends only as far as to where the next person's liberty begins. And I don't try to correct their wrong thinking or what all. I honor that. I love them. My freedom ends before it causes another to stumble. Freedom, yes, but it ends before we injure or cause someone else to stumble. The law is still with us to enclose us in an area of protection. That's the kingdom of God, to keep us safe, free from the enemy, free from hurting ourselves, and free from hurting others. Blessings come with the keeping of the law. It's not a requirement that we have to do, but it is a requirement to keep us from hurting ourselves or hurting other people. James 1:25. But one who looks intently in the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty, the law of freedom, keeps us free and safe from hurting ourselves and one another. The one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty, freedom, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man is blessed by what he does. Blessings come with keeping of the law, living that way. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. There's prospering, there's freedom, there's blessing in the law. So we'll close with Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The law is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They're more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, kept in protective custody. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Amen. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. The purpose of the law is simply to keep us in a protective custody, living a life that Satan cannot touch us. And we can do that because of the Holy Spirit, the divine nature in us. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for so great a salvation, that you have cleansed us of all sin, that you see us as righteousness. You've given us your righteousness. And now the Holy Spirit is within us because of that righteousness, not because of us, but because of your righteousness which you gave us. And his divine nature, your divine nature is in us. And so, Father, thank you. From tonight, I just pray that you would help us all understand how precious, how much you love us so much, that as a father, you gave us your law so that we could walk free of sin and walk pleasingly before you. Help us understand this, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. Help us understand in our mind and in our heart. We're so grateful for so great a salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.